Reverend Doug Cunningham, you've come from New Day to Iowa, where there is a new day. Mm. And you'll be with us for the Pentecost gathering. What do you bring?
Well, I bring an incredible experience of working with a lot of young people in the Bronx that are Latino and white and black, African-American, Caribbean, that are, in many cases, have been not felt welcome in the church or not felt excited by what's going on in more traditional churches. So we're really trying to create a space that excites and encourages and engages young people across ethnic lines, across lines of sexual orientation. We have a lot of gay folks in the church, and it's really an exciting, wonderful experience. And what I'm looking forward to doing here is really sharing around the Pentecost story. You know, what is the Holy Spirit about? The Holy Spirit speaks in languages, all the languages. The Holy Spirit, encourages us, teaches us, pushes us to build community with each other. So this is a great experience for me to be able to kind of put some of that together and have a chance to engage people around it.
Iowa is not exactly the Bronx.
Oh, no?
Yeah. And the diversity of racial, ethnic communities in the greater New York metro area and some other urban areas, it's far different from central Iowa. And yet we'll have perhaps a dozen different communities coming together, and maybe for the first time in one place.
Right.
What does that say about the community of God, regardless of zip code?
Well, I think the Holy Spirit is clearly pushing us across language boundaries. So I think as Christians, it's part of our organic makeup to be people who are crossing cultural boundaries, connecting with each other. And I also think it's the reality that what we're experiencing in the Bronx is more and more becoming the reality of the United States. My guess is 20 years ago, you wouldn't have had the kind of ethnic diversity you have in Iowa today, that this is an increasing phenomenon. And I think it's something for all of us. It's a great opportunity for us as Christians, I think, to kind of lead the way in that, to understand that this is who we are. You know, every situation's different. The level of ethnic diversity is different in different places, but the basic principles are the same, that we're called to connect with human beings and enjoy our differences, thrive on engaging around our differences, learning from our differences. And so I'm looking forward to it.
What will it take to become a community of the many rather than the separateness of the one?
A lot of patience, a lot of willingness to be in, sometimes in awkward situations, a real commitment, a real willingness to say that this is what I'm committed to, this is who I am as a Holy Spirit person, and working through the challenges, because it's not easy. It's not easy for people to get along anyway. So anytime you add some level of diversity or difference, there can be some challenge. There can also be a lot of learning, a lot of excitement also.
What nourishes you in the midst of the diversity at New Day?
I have, throughout my ministry, found diversity to always be a very powerful learning experience. I've been the pastor of a mostly Caribbean church. I've been ministered in the context of the Philippines. I've been in multi-ethnic churches. And for me, it helps me to understand who I am when I'm engaging with people that don't necessarily share all my values or all my cultural norms. I have found it a strong learning experience and also a lot of fun. You know, I try to engage it with a light heart and find a lot of enjoyment in the music. I mean, you know, what could be better than engaging in all different kinds of music and all different kinds of ways of worshiping together. So it's a challenge, but it's also pretty dynamic.
What kind of courage will it take in mid-America to become as open and accepting and affirming and living life together in terms of the variety of ethnic communities that you already experience in the New York area?
Right. Yeah. I was, my first appointment as a pastor was in Columbus, Ohio, in a neighborhood that was, at our church, it was a big church. We had about 900 white people and one Filipino woman who worked as a maid in the house of one of the white families. So I was an associate pastor then, and I had a four-bedroom parsonage, and I was single. Over a course of a couple of months, I had met some guys, and I ended up was living there with three black guys in the parsonage and in an all-white neighborhood. And one of the guys was a seminary student, always had a coat and tie on. He never had much problem. But one of the guys had been homeless and, you know, dressed kind of down and that kind of thing. And he got stopped by the police constantly just for walking out on the street. As he put it, you know, he would get stopped for walking while black. And in that context, it took, we actually had a breakfast fellowship. We'd bring a lot of the young white men together with these three guys who were in the house with me. And we had some really interesting conversations. So, yeah, I think, you know, you kind of start where you are.